Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Wednesday, February 15, 2017. I am Jason Powell. Coming up after the break for non-members, I will be giving my full review of last night's WWE 205 Live. The WWE 205 Live show was in Anaheim, California at the Honda Center, of course, airing live after WWE SmackDown on the WWE Network. And boy, this was not one of the better live crowds we've seen. Our own Will Pruitt was in attendance for this show. And he, I know it, for SmackDown, the only upper deck section that wasn't tarped off were, I guess, the one or two that were located across from the hard camera. So not a great turnout in Anaheim for SmackDown in general. But you could see even on television, during 205 Live, some of the usual crowd shots they go to, you could see like a lot of empty seats. And sometimes what happens is, you know, there's always going to be people who leave, some cities more than others, but the people who stick around are usually pretty enthusiastic and make some noise. And this crowd would at times, but it just was a really poor atmosphere. And normally I would jump in and start to saying, hey, you know, they need to move the they need to tape this before SmackDown and go ahead and call it live. Well, it wouldn't have worked this time because when WWE used to tape main events prior to SmackDown, well, when they, you know, in the East Coast and Central time zones, when they would go to the West Coast, they'd have to do it afterward because of, you know, it's such an early start time for SmackDown as it is. So it wouldn't have made any difference here. I thought they did a good job with the cruiserweights on Monday's Raw, even though they were very brief matches. They kind of left me wanting more. And then on this show, things were just kind of flat. You know, the crowd didn't help, the matches felt longer than they actually were. I was kind of like feeling fatigued. Some of it, of course, too, you know, watching the Chamber on Sunday, Raw on Monday, SmackDown, and now 205 Live, that doesn't help for me as a viewer. But I don't know if that's an excuse for the live crowd or not. But it just wasn't. There were things that the crowd could have been more favorable to that deserved better reaction. We'll get into it. Before I do, just want to tell you on the main page of ProWrestling.net today, you can check out Will Pruitt's on-site report talking about the dark matches. Dean Ambrose did the injury angle on SmackDown and then came back for the dark main event. Also, details on the, if you haven't heard by now, they're going to have a battle royal to determine the new number one contender for Bray Wyatt in the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. Details on that and where I think that is going. And also, the .NET members are listening to my full audio review of that SmackDown show that went up late Tuesday night. I'll just tell you quickly, if you're interested in membership, visit the main page, enter the sign-up area, three different pricing options. We would love to have you try the ad-free version of the site. And remember, it has never been easier to sign up than it is now on the mobile version of ProWrestling.net. So if you check the mobile site and you've had any issues with the screen size or anything like that, it's all been addressed. It's all good to go. So dive on in, become a .NET member for $7.50 for 1 month. And as always, you can trim $2 off the price tag by signing up for the annual membership. Follow me on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet if you have any questions. Let's get into the first match, or I guess we'll just kind of go through the overall show. I reviewed the show live as I do on Tuesdays. I will be turning things over to Zach Zimmerman here in a couple of weeks. I think there's still one more week to go. I'll have to double check with him. Zach, who normally covers NXT, can't do it just because of his scheduling, so he's going to be taking over 205 Live. We'll be hearing Zach's takes on the 205 Live show, which should be fun. This show, we ended up with we got the recap of last week's five-way elimination match. If you haven't watched 205 Live in a while and you're looking like, hey, what's a good one to watch? Last week, the five-way elimination match. That was a really good show. The usual broadcast team, Mauro Ranallo, Corey Graves, Austin Aries. Graves was hyping both the main event of the show, Neville against TJ Perkins, and also the debut of Grand Metalik. From there, we went to Noam Dar and Rich Swann. It was Swann's return from a brief injury, which is funny because last week they had him. They said that he, because of his injury, they had to book this five-way elimination match. So I guess they couldn't have waited one more week in the storylines to determine the number one contender. Apparently, the idea was going to be Swann challenging Neville for the championship. I don't know if he's back sooner than they thought or if this was just their excuse to get him out of the title picture and go with someone different, but it does seem kind of silly, and I wish they would have kind of addressed that on the show tonight. But he was back, and he came out and acknowledged it was Valentine's Day, and he dedicated his match to Alicia Fox, just as Noam Dar used to do. Fox was flattered, and she's smiling, and Dar's not happy about this. And he says that he did tell Fox, but baby girl, you can't handle this. And this match, this was one of the ones that it only went 8 minutes. It felt like it went a lot longer. And it wasn't a bad match. I think Noam Dar is a really fun character, and I typically enjoy his matches. It seemed like the idea was, all right, Swan's going to do all these flashy spots, so when Dar's on offense, he's really going to slow things down. I haven't seen Dar really work at this kind of slow pace where just bring everything down the way it did. I don't recall seeing that before, but that almost seemed to be the game plan here, where he just was kind of having an off night offensively as far as what he was doing. It was fine. You know, like the whole show. If you saw it, great. If you didn't, life goes on, that sort of a thing. Swan late ducked a clothesline, Dar turned and clotheslined him in the back of the head. I like that one. Swan ended up catching Dar on the ropes and performing a Hurricane Rana. He followed up with a Phoenix Splash from the middle rope and got the win. So Noam Dar loses to Rich Swan in 8 minutes. I got to say, I thought we would have a little more fun with Alicia Fox and Noam Dar with this being Valentine's Day. I know that that whole bit isn't for everybody, but I actually get a kick out of Noam Dar and Alicia Fox when Alicia's not going ridiculously over the top with her angry woman routine. Other than Swan doing his bit, really didn't do anything. I thought we'd at least get a fun skit or something with the two of them. And normally, I can't say that I'm typically the type's like, yeah, give me all the wrestling that you can. That's great. But I don't know, there's something with Valentine's Day. I thought, they'd be a little more creative with that than they ended up being. The broadcast team introduced TJ Perkins and Neville, who were interviewed from separate areas backstage. And Neville said Perkins may have won the Cruiserweight Classic and become the first champion, but that's only because he wasn't in the tournament. Perkins said Neville didn't make it because his ankles are made of glass. And he said he put the division on the map. Neville said Perkins isn't on his level and will always come in second to the King. And Perkins ended up telling Neville that he will never be as good as he thinks he is, and asked him if he was even on Raw prior to the Cruiserweight division, because I forgot. Nice diss. And then Neville said that he will regret saying that by the end of the night. I thought we were going to get an injury angle, you know, some kind of a beat down of Perkins, and no, it didn't really play out that way. So it was just kind of, match related. It's fine. Neville, good intensity as always. Perkins didn't, I've mentioned before, without trying, I just think it's kind of his personality, and some of it's probably the way he's scripted. Even though he's a babyface, he comes off a bit dickish at times. But I didn't feel that from this promo, and I like the dig at Neville. I don't know how much you want to remind people that he sucked as far as his one-loss record is concerned prior to the Cruiserweight division, but one time's not going to hurt anything. No big deal with that. And Neville, I think, is doing a nice job now. He's kind of found the right mix as far as working in the King lines. It's not all cliche King Barrett type of, just WWE King type of material that you just start to roll your eyes at. You've heard it all before and you don't want to hear it again. He was starting to do that and when they first gave him the King of the Cruiserweights gimmick, and now I think he's starting to, kind of find that the sweet spot where, work it in occasionally, but it's not all there is to Neville. Then we had a video package of TJ Perkins beating Grand Metalik, and the whole thing was about Grand Metalik, though. Metalik said that Perkins is a worthy opponent, but he felt bad because he genuinely believed he had him. And he was speaking in Spanish about the match, and there were subtitles. And he said that he's on the 205 Live to show he's on 205 Live to show he's the best, and he said he brings a lot of different moves and will continue to show his quality to astound viewers. And he said the opportunity he has is beautiful and wonderful, and he has to take advantage of it. And then in his first match, he comes out, and I'm just like, okay, Drew Gulak's already in the ring, isn't he? No, he wasn't. Well, then the music played, and out comes Drew Gulak. He just knew it was going to be him, and it's fine. I mean, it's Gulak is he's boring as hell, but at least the way he's portrayed in WWE. But he is obviously good in the ring, and he's a guy that's there to make others look better. And I thought he showed a little more charisma than usual tonight. I thought this was one of his better outings in WWE. Not that he stole the show by any means, but I went from going, oh boy, yeah, it's Gulak, to going, at least this wasn't bad. But Metalik beats him in 5:30. He did slip going for a springboard move off the middle rope to start, and was like, uh-oh, here we go. But that was it. He was fine. You know, the broadcast team quick to just kind of talk, chalk it up to, hey, it's a high-risk move, and, you know, they call them high-risk moves for a reason. But he just was more and more impressive with the high spots as the match went on. And Gulak, though, like, there was, you know, just that intensity I spoke of, he, like, Metalik goes for this move off the top rope, and Gulak just blasts him with a kick. And it was good, you know. So this was, and he also performed the gory special, and the broadcast team then brought up the death of Chavo Guerrero Sr. and offered their condolences to the family, and one of them talked about how, you know, the family basically put cruiserweight wrestling on the map. So that was a nice touch. And then in the end, you ended up with Metalik performing his Metalik driver and getting the win that way. So, and the crowd was receptive. The crowd was kind of into this. There were some sea chants and things like that. So the crowd was having fun here. I think more than anything, it's just they were kind of dead by the time the main event rolled around. They were very flat by the time the Neville match started. They went backstage where Akira Tozawa was about to leave the locker room with his luggage. I don't even know what the hell he was doing there, but Brian Kendrick showed up. Tozawa kind of rolled his eyes, so you knew, like, okay, they're not aligned, which was kind of my fear, is that it doesn't seem like they are, but could they, just to get, you know, I was kind of worried that they were actually going to put Tozawa with Kendrick initially and do the breakup angle, you know, a few months down the road or something. Well, they're not, and I'm happy to see that. Kendrick basically talked about, you know, you're probably a little bit intimidated having a chance to be mentored by a living legend, and he explained what a protege is, and Tozawa says no. Kendrick doesn't take no for an answer. He said, it's obvious that you don't understand, you know, kind of saying there's an issue with the language barrier. You don't understand what I'm offering. And then Tozawa responds, I understand. I don't like you. And he left the room, and the crowd cheered this. So this was nicely done. So yeah, they're setting up Akira Tozawa against Kendrick. Kendrick's doing a really good job with this, you know, just sitting in on commentary, acting like a big shot, praising Tozawa, but putting himself over even more at the same time. You know, he's been a lot of fun. I think Brian Kendrick returning to WWE has been one of the high points of the cruiserweight division so far. I you know, even if you didn't like him as one of the early champions of the division, it's good to see him back, and I think he's doing a really good job they've labeled him the gatekeeper of the division. I think that's a fine role for him. Third match was Neville defeating TJ Perkins in a non-title match in 12 minutes and 30 seconds, and it was a long 12 minutes and 30 seconds. Like I said, and it could be some of my own fatigue setting in, having seen so much wrestling here over the last three nights, but the live crowd just wasn't there for a good portion of the match. You know, they would respond to some of the, you know, the bigger moves and things like that, but there were long stretches where it was pretty quiet, and some of it, you can blame some of it on the wrestlers if you want. There was at one point, I felt bad, Perkins performed a springboard DDT for a two count, and the live crowd responded with Austin Aries chants. Not too audible, which I think you could stand up and yell anything you wanted it. And I'm not encouraging you to, but I think you could at 205 Live, and it would probably make air, because it's that quiet at times in there, or at least with this crowd. And again, I don't blame the live crowd. It's just, you know, it's 205 Live, and it's that show. If you see it, great. If you don't, you don't. It really does feel that way. Anyway, late in the match, he had Perkins going for Hurricanrana off the top. Neville catches him. Neville went for the Rings of Saturn. Perkins rolled him into a pin for a two count. Neville ended up going for the move again, locking the move in this time. And so he applies the Rings of Saturn the second time, and he gets a submission win. So Neville goes over clean. And then after the match, Jack Gallagher comes out, and he runs to the ring, and Neville ended up kicking him, and then took the umbrella that he carries around, William III, Gallagher's umbrella, and just tossed it up the aisle. And Gallagher, though, fired back with punches and ended up knocking Neville out of the ring with the big headbutt, and then he picked up the title belt and put it over his shoulder as Neville was kind of backing up the ramp, seething. And then Gallagher dropped the title and motioned for Neville to return to the ring, but that's when the show went off the air. So, good angle. They're clearly, you know, trying to heat things up, heading into Fastlane. They still have a couple more weeks to do it. Gallagher doesn't really feel like a threat to the championship, and it's okay. I mean, I think once the bell rings, Neville and Gallagher are good enough that they're going to make people believe in some of the near falls or the submission teases. I think that is certainly going to happen. But just looking at it, it's like, well, comedy figure going against Neville. Yeah, it's probably, I don't think too many people are sitting around taking Gallagher seriously right now as a threat. I don't know that they can really accomplish that over the next couple of weeks on 205 Live and Raw. But, they have to try at least. Again, I think once the bell rings, assuming people aren't just racing for the merch because they're bored by the cruiserweights or something, which not that we haven't seen them race for the merch, but we have seen a lot of quiet crowds. So if the fast lane crowd is into it, it could be a lot of fun because I think that Gallagher is one of the better personalities in the division, and Neville really is the division. I mean, he's just that good. And I'm still looking forward to when we get the triumphant return of Austin Aries. It'll be his debut in 205 Live, but it's got to be getting close. He's been out with the injury, and sounds like he's good to go or close to it. And so I'm just kind of waiting to see when. I wouldn't, if they're going to go with like Neville and Aries at Mania by any chance, then I don't think you'll see it before Fastlane, because I think they're going to want to go ahead and give Gallagher his title shot without having Aries kind of, just clouding over everything. But once that happens, it's going to be interesting. It could be something they hold off until post-Mania to do, but I'd love to see Neville and Austin Aries at WrestleMania. I also don't want to see it rushed, but I think there's a way to do it where it's going to feel hot. It's going to feel like a big part of the show, and I think that WrestleMania crowd is going to be into both guys enough that it's not going to be that bad crowd reaction for a cruiserweight match. I think those guys in particular, the crowd will, Austin Aries, as I said, gets chance just sitting in on commentary. So I think that would be actually a good choice if they can make it feel like it's not just like they're not just rushing into it. But yeah, it was a step back overall from last week's show. That five-way elimination was a lot of fun. One of the things that helped last week, too, was that it mattered. There was something on the line. There was a championship. I would almost use their awful lingo of championship opportunity, but there was a title shot at stake in that five-way elimination. Plus, it was an elimination match. That's kind of one of the issues with 205 Live is very rarely do these matches feel like they matter. Yeah, you're getting some debuts of Tozawa and Grand Metalik, and that's great. They're adding some guys who have the potential to be stars in the division now. I like that, but it's rare. You get a title match once in a while. Sometimes you'll get a contenders match, but a lot of times the matches just feel kind of random and don't really lead to anything. And so hopefully, they were doing a good job with say what you will about Cedric Alexander and Noam Dar feuding over Alicia Fox. You had Aria Davari and Jack Gallagher. You had some feuds that mattered a little bit earlier on too, not that long ago. And now it's just kind of we're kind of back to nothing. It's whoever Neville's feuding, and then whatever happens underneath happens. It doesn't feel like there's enough of a creative direction there, and so hopefully that will change. But that's going to do it for today, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I'm not sure what the plan is for Thursday. Wouldn't be surprised if you hear a pretentious podcast with Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett, but I just haven't talked to the guys yet to know what the recording plan is. If not, maybe you'll hear... Well, it could be a couple of different things. I guess you'll have to wait and find out. But thank you so much for listening. I will talk to you again very soon. Take care.